Romans chapter number 4. And we'll give this another try. Got sidetracked this morning. But I have had so much feedback today. Before I even got out of the parking lot, I began getting phone calls and how the Lord helped this morning. God challenged my heart for sure and touched and helped me, and He did many, many other people through His Word this morning. That's always a blessing. It's always a blessing when God speaks to us from His Words, especially when it's unplanned. You know it's nothing good in you, nothing you studied or prepared for. Just God decided to step in and speak. And boy, what a blessing. What a blessing it is. Let's stand together. Philippians chapter 4. We'll read one verse of Scripture. Verse number 5. Philippians 4 verse 5. The Bible says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. The Lord is at hand. I said this morning, this has usually been preached in the context of the second coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, etc. And that can definitely be applicable. And we should absolutely keep in mind the Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming, and sooner than later. I know this is a profound statement, but we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been. And as simple of a statement as that is, and profound a statement as that is, it should be a sobering statement to know that so many untold millions and billions of people have lived and died, and many of those have lived their whole life looking and believing that the coming of the Lord would happen in their lifetime. Matter of fact, if you read the Word of God, when lots of Paul believed that the Lord Jesus was going to come in his lifetime. He really did. And it's been 2,000 plus years, and he still hadn't come. And before we go where most people normally go and say, well, if they believed that way back then and he ain't come, then what makes you believe he's going to come now? I'd be careful going down that route. The Bible says there'll be scoffers in the last day saying, where is the promise of his coming? So when we get off on those talks and tangents, we're just fulfilling prophecy and fulfilling the Word of God. I do not want to be a scoffer. I never want to be accused of saying, where is the promise of his coming? No, he's coming. I used to preach a message, ready or not, here I come. He's coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is at hand. That's what I want to look at this evening in a different vein. And I'm not going to re-preach the introduction that I dealt with this morning, other than to say two times in the Word of God, this particular wording is used, and that was in Philippians 4:5 and in Luke 2:28, when Simeon, you remember we spoke about that for a moment this morning, where Simeon made the statement that he took up in his arms the Lord Jesus and held him in his arms. About matter of fact, verse 28 said, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, the Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to the word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon had waited no telling how long to see the Lord, for the Lord to truly and physically be at hand. And that day come when he hailed in his arms, he saw with his eyes, he had heard with his ears, the Messiah was born. And sure enough, they brought baby Jesus to Simeon, and Simeon saw and gazed upon the child and reached out his hands and took up in his arms and hailed and cradled and said, I've seen the Lord. Blessed be the name of God. And he went on and says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Verse 4, that said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now, let me say this. I'm preaching on the Lord is at hand. And I want to say this. If you ever have a one-on-one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, we too, like Simeon and like anybody else that's ever had an encounter with God and truly been in His presence and was able to truly testify and say, the Lord is at hand, we too can walk away from that experience saying, let me go in peace, because we've been in the very presence of peace. And we can walk away saying, no matter you fill in the blank, no matter how bad of a situation you were facing, no matter if it was a child that was sick or whether you just left the graveyard, you can leave that terrible place and walk away saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is at hand. And since He's at hand, you can walk away and say, I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I'm sure there were many who went to the graveyard, and we can read about some. I'm sure when Lazarus died, you remember? And they all thought, Elizabeth and Mary, and they all thought, my, he's 4 days late, and if you'd have been here earlier, he wouldn't have had to die, and oh my. But then, even 4 days late, finally the Lord was at hand. And when He was at hand, that graveyard, it folded up and left town, because it was no longer a graveyard. They was no longer in need of a tomb and grave clothes, because they had seen the salvation of the Lord. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth leaping like a mummy. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And can you just imagine the grief that had stricken the hearts? My cousin's over there right now, right down below my house, and I was over there, and tears would well up in her eyes, and her lips would quiver, and you could just see the grief from losing her husband. And don't you know that's how they felt? That's how any of us feel when death visits our home and our loved one. But can you imagine the jubilation when you had counted him gone? When they, Martha and Lazarus, don't you know they doubted the Lord? Don't you know they thought, he's helped everybody else? You ever felt that way? When you've been praying and begging God, saying, Lord, I need this taken care of. I need you to fix this for me. Lord, I'm your child too. And Lord, do you not know how I feel? And it gets to the place when it don't happen, when you keep looking for Him to come and praying for Him to come and believing He will come, only to see Him helping and moving and touching other people. And you begin to wonder, like I'm sure Martha and Mary did. You could almost hear it in their tone. Lord, had you been here? Lord, if you'd have come sooner, you could have healed him. He wouldn't have died. And oh, what a change. What a change of attitude. What joy. What jubilation. When those two sisters and everybody else that had gathered to mourn him saw that truly the Lord was at hand. What a change. What a change maker He is. Whether it's death, sickness, sin. I want to look at a few of them this evening concerning the Lord is at hand. I thought of many in the Bible who was only an arm's length away from the Lord. Over and over you'll read in the Word of God where the Bible said they thronged Him. They rubbed shoulders with Him. They rubbed Him. They touched Him. But everybody didn't get help. Even those that touched Him. And I'll say more about her in just a moment, but you remember that one woman who, as they were thronging Him and pressing Him, she intentionally, on purpose, realized that the Lord was at hand. And she got down on her knees and she pressed through the crowd and crawled through the crowd and touched Him. And He said, "Who touched me?" Ain't you glad He can distinguish between a casual rub and you when you're seeking Him in sincerity with all your heart and all your soul, and you need Him and you need a touch from Him and you need virtue to flow out of Him into you, and you need, whether it's healing or whether you need help or whether you need to be forgiven, ain't you glad He can distinguish in the midst of a crowd those that truly, like in this service tonight, there's people on about every pew, and we got a good crowd on a Sunday night, and think about it. I wish it could be said, Brother Ned, that everybody that come in here to truly say that the Lord is at hand, and that we would all leave having received the flowing power of the virtue of God with our needs met. But honestly, I got to be real. Do you realize, Brother Raymond, that everybody that come in here tonight ain't going to leave changed? People lugged problems in tonight, and they will lug them back out. People brought in sicknesses and heartaches and struggles and sin. And you would think if we was going to go to the effort of getting dressed, getting up and coming to the house of God on Sunday morning. I mean, I know a lot of people come on Sunday morning to make themselves feel better and to feel like they have some sort of morality. And I'm not being mean in saying that, but a lot of people, I mean, people that's not even saved, they attend churches cathedrals and mosques. I mean, people for morality's sake, they will go and be part of some form of religion to make themselves feel better. But we that are saved, we that are born again, truly saved, we have had, I mean, there come a point in time in our life, if you're saved, there was a place, there was a time when you had a one-on-one encounter with the God of heaven, and you may not let these words come out of your mouth, but in your heart and in your mind, it was as clear as the noonday sun, and you could have shouted, "The Lord is at hand." Amen. And when He's at hand, like I had you raise your hand at the beginning of the service, when He's at hand, He's that close. He's in touching distance.
Yes, sir.
And it's beyond me why we who say we're saved and we say that we believe that the God of heaven, the Lord, who is at hand, is going to carry us up through the sky and on past the Milky Way and carry us into the third heaven where the throne of God's at, where He spent all this time building a place called heaven. And we believe He's going to do that. I believe He's going to do that. I believe I'm going there. I've staked my eternity on the fact that because of what He said in His Word and because of the person named the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared to me by faith, and I realized the Lord was at hand for me one day. And by faith, I repented of my sin and placed my faith and trust in Him. I believe He's taking me to heaven one day.
Amen.
I believe that as much as I'm standing here. I believe that with every fiber of being in me. I believe that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But don't you believe that?
Thank you, Lord.
Don't you believe there's a place called heaven?
Yes.
I mean, a place where we're going to be reunited with the loved ones that have went on before us. Mama, you're going to hear him sing again. You're going to see him sing again. I'm going to see my family. You're going to see your family. And what a day that will be when we're there. That's going to happen. We believe that. We believe that. The Lord is at hand. Before we shout too high and too long, listen, let me reel us back in. If we really believe that, and I do, Brother Steve, she's there waiting. You're going to see her sooner than later. It's going to happen. If that's true, and it is, and we can believe that he's going to rapture us out of this old wicked world. Goodbye, world, goodbye. And we're headed out of here. If we believe that, and I do, and I believe you do, why under heaven can't we believe that the Lord's at hand? Right here. In here. If he can take us all the way up there, why do we lug our problems in and our sins in and dress up and take time away from the lake and from playing golf and from our hobbies and make a conscious decision that we're going to go to the house of God and I'm going to be at church this Sunday morning and I'm going to come back Sunday night? Do we do that to be entertained or to for some moral purpose or to make ourselves feel good, to pat ourselves on the back? Or do we really believe like we have faith that it takes to get to heaven? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why in the world would we drag ourselves in here and come and sit through church service after church service when he promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst? He said the Lord is at hand. He's here. Brother Bobby, why would we come here? Waste our time and his and basically ignore him because he's here, he's at hand. Why? You say, well, nobody would do that. I don't know nobody that would do that. I mean, I'd never do that. I wish I had all the services back that I wasted. I wish I had a redo of all the times I entered into the church house needing help from God, understanding the Lord was at hand, him in the very room with me, for me to throw my satchel of sin, the things I come in with, for me to throw my heavy burdens over my shoulder and drag them into church. Get in his presence, realize, feel his presence. See other people being delivered in the very room with me. Only for me to throw my burdens that were so heavy coming in. And for some crazy reason, Brother Jackie, while the Lord's at hand, close, I throw that same heavy pile of burdens, hurts, heartaches, and yes, even sins, and the weights that so easily beset us. And I load them things back on my shoulder and walk and drag them back out the door, put them in my truck, and head back down to my house where I live, and they go live with me for yet another week. I said all that to say this. If he can take us through the sky and through the Milky Way into heaven, and he said the Lord is at hand. He's talking about here in our presence. If he can take our sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. I mean, if he can take our old black, rotten, filthy soul that deserved hell and impute his righteousness unto us, that could have never happened. That could have never happened had the Lord not been at hand. But when God the Father, the Holy God of heaven, stood up and said, we can't allow him to enter. He can't come into my presence. He's dark and vile and wretched. Jesus stepped up and said, the Lord is at hand. And his righteousness pleaded my case. And he advocated on my behalf. And now I'm accepted in the Beloved. And if he can do all that, why would it seem like such a hard thing for us to come into his house and into his presence, understanding the Lord is at hand, and give him our problems?
Amen.
I mean, the Bible said in the book of Romans, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, Brother Cliff. I don't know about you, but I had mountains of sin. But thank God he had bigger mountains of mercy and grace. My mountains of sin look like molehills and anthills compared to the Mount Everest of his grace. I'm saying, well, listen, the Lord was at hand when my sin pleaded out, guilty, guilty, guilty. The grace of God cried out, I mercy, mercy, mercy. And God's grace overshadowed and overwhelmed. And the blood of Jesus stood up and spoke up and said, the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, you don't need to inspect his blood. It's corrupted. Father, it's corrupted. Yes, he's sinful. Yes, he's corrupted. Yes, he should be condemned. But here's my blood. The Lord's at hand. Here's my blood. Inspect it. Matter of fact, walk over, Father, and look at the mercy seat. It's there.
Amen.
The Lord is at hand. It's not my blood. The Bible talks about Abel's blood. See, he's still speaking. Testifying from the grave. Hey, listen. My blood ain't got a whole lot to say of any good or significance. But the book of Hebrews over and over talks about there's a better. There's something better. There's something better. Better than the angels. Better than Moses. Better than that. Better. There's a better blood. Matter of fact, it's better than better. It's the best. The perfect, pure blood of the Lord Jesus. When I get to heaven, I have not even started preaching. I mean, I've been preaching, but I ain't started preaching when I come in my notes. And them notes can burn for all I care. I'm enjoying this. Listen. When I stand, you've heard this asked when we was in a Bible college up there, Fruitland, where Brother Jackie graduated. No, you didn't go to Fruitland, did you? I'm just kidding. It was too conservative for you. No, I'm just kidding. When I was up at Fruitland years ago, one of my teachers, professors, whatever you call them, they said, when you're witnessing to somebody, the best way to ask them and speak to them is say, if you're standing at the gate of heaven and St. Peter come out, I don't know where this St. Peter mess come from. St. Peter ain't no different than me and you. He's a sinner, got saved. That's it. But this is what he said. He said, if St. Pete, that's what it comes, St. Pete. I assume he's talking about Peter. St. Pete, Peter, I guess that's the same one. Was standing at the gate of heaven, at the golden gates of heaven. And he was to say, sir, why should I let you into this heaven? What would your answer be? Y'all ever heard that? And that's a, you leave the St. Pete part and all that out, it's a pretty good tool to witnessing. Why would God let you into my heaven? I can promise you this, it's nothing I've done. Let me help you, by the way. If you doubt your salvation and struggle with that, and you'd be amazed at how many people in this church does, and I have many times in my life, I used to battle it. And you talking about misery?
Yes, sir.
Let me help you. Next time you get to thinking, well, I don't know if I prayed just right. I don't know if I believed enough. I don't know if I was under enough conviction. I don't know if I had enough faith. Did you notice something? A similarity, something common in every one of those statements I just made? I. You're speaking in the first person. Anytime the devil comes to you and tempts you about your salvation, or if you wanted to answer the question properly and correctly, why should God let you into this heaven? You better skip all that first person and run headlong to third person. Say, He. He. It ain't about how much you believe, Miss Connie. It ain't about how you prayed or how long you prayed or where you was at or how you failed or if you cried or if you said it right. It ain't about I did this and I did that and I didn't do. No, it's about He saved my soul. He forgave me. He did what His Word said He would do. It ain't nothing to do with what you did or couldn't do. It's all about what He did because of the Lord. If you got saved, it's because the Lord was at hand.
Amen.
And if He wasn't at hand, if He was not there, you can hang it up anyway, honey. You ain't got a chance. But if He was there, He did all that needed to be done.
That's right.
All. All. And you can trust Him. You can believe Him. Whatever He does, the Bible says he does all things well. That includes saving your soul. No matter. How little your faith was, no matter how pathetic and pitiful your prayer was.
Amen.
I know people that got saved that couldn't even utter the words, Lord, save me.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother Brown, Dr. Larry Brown, who was my pastor down in Georgia, he can't even preach no more. Parkinson's got him so bad. But he'd been to church 3 times in his whole life. And all 3 times he had been to church, and he was 20-something and married. All 3 times he had been to church was to play softball. He attended 3 services because they made him in order to get on the softball team. And he walked in, sat on the pew, and got up and left just so he could have his name checked as in being there. Never. Knew nothing about God, the Bible, getting saved, nothing. Brother Brown told me, he said, I woke up one, he was drinking heavy, partying. This was back in the disco days, bell bottoms and disco lights, really. And he said, a man he worked with, he was a mechanic. He said, going to the dealership, and the guy he worked with said, you must be born again. He said, man, what you talking about? He said, I'm going to fix this car. What are you talking about? And he went and told the parts guy. He said, this guy over here is crazy. He's lost his mind. He's talking about, he said, I'm a grown man. He want me to get born? He said, looking back, I'm sure I sound like Nicodemus. How can a man enter back into his mother's womb? He said, but I didn't know. He said, the next day, he said, I steered clear of that guy. He said, the next day, he said, I turned the corner in the restroom. I'd been washing my hands. I just put all that soap and goop on my hands. And there he come around the corner. I said, you must be born again. He said, I about run out of the bathroom, goop and all. He said, but there I was locked in as the man began to tell him, you a sinner, and if you don't repent of your sin and get saved, you'll die and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
And son, you don't know what happiness is. Because he said, I'm enjoying my life. He said, you don't know what joy is. He said, joy don't come in a bottle. Happiness don't come on a dance floor. partying up with the boys, drinking Bud's stupid Miller Lowlife. It don't come. It don't come that way. He said, I got so mad. He said, how dare that man? He don't even know me. Tell me I'm going to go to hell. He said, I started to tell him where he could go. That's how long, hey, that's what sinners do. They sin. That's how they thought. Well, long story short, he told the man what for in several choice words. And he walked out of the bathroom with goop dripping off his hands. He said, I'd had enough. I didn't care if I had what I had on me. And he left mad, ready to fight that man. And it was a Friday. He went and got his paycheck. He said, I'm going to drink my troubles away, get that crazy man off my mind. He's done messed up my whole day. He said, got me so mad I was ready to fight. He said, I went and cashed my check, went and got my wife Diane, and said, me and Diane went to the disco. He said, and I ordered double of everything I usually get. He said, and I drunk them, and nothing was gone, and I still had all my feeling. He said, so I ordered triple and downed it all. And all I could hear was, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. He said, I kept on drinking and drinking it. He said, I drank all night long. I drank my whole check away and never got the first buzz. He said, that never happened to me in my life. So I finally gave up and went home and dying, laid in the bed. I couldn't close my eyes. All I could hear and see that little bony finger pointing in my face in the bathroom at the Lincoln dealership, you must be born again. You must be born again. For, and the last thing he quoted, for the Lord himself shall descend with the voice with the voice of the archangel and the dead in Christ. He said, I didn't know what none of that meant, but it just kept playing over and over and over in my mind. Every time I'd shut my eyes, I'd see that man and hear that man quote. He said, I about went stark crazy. He said, Saturday, he woke up and drunk all day long trying to get that man out of his mind, out of his ears. Nothing. He even put his fingers in his ears, and the man wasn't even there. He was just thinking about putting his fingers in his ears. Maybe that voice would go away, but it wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside. So he was just plugging it in, not letting it out. All night, Saturday night, again, could not sleep. You must be born again, for the Lord himself shall have said, over and over and over. So what was going on? I'll tell you what was going on. The Lord was at hand. He said, I'd been to church 3 times in my life. He said, I woke up Sunday morning. I said, Diane, go get you whatever dress. He said, she said, I don't own a dress, Larry. He said, well, go get whatever you go dancing and put it on. We're going to go to church. She said, what have you been drinking? Church? We ain't never been to church. She said, the only dress I got is that dress I wore to the prom, and that's been years ago. He said, go put it on. And he said, I throwed her in his 67 Chevelle, and they drove down to the first church they come to, right down off Broad River. Hey, pulled in, and the man of God got up there under the anointing of God and preached, you must be born again. And this ain't no lie. He preached on you must be born again over and over. And then he stood up and said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the earth. Exactly what that man at the job had been quoting him. He said, I got up and run outside. He said, I kept my cigarettes folded up under my shirt. He said, I put 3 of them in my mouth at one time. He said, I was losing my mind. He went and grabbed Diane and said, Diane, let's go. We got to get out of here. These people, they've been calling and talking about me. He went home, told Diane, said, "We ain't never going back." He said, "I don't know what I was thinking." About 5 o'clock that afternoon, he said, "Diane, I'm losing my mind." He said, "Go get that dress back on." He said, "We're going to go back down there and hear what that crazy man's got to say, is screaming at us." They sat down on the back pew back where Steve's at. That preacher got up, said, "Take your Bible." He said, "I ain't never did this in my whole life. Been preaching a long time." He said, "But the Lord dealt with my heart and told me to preach exactly what I preached this morning." He said, "You must be born again. You must be born again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and then a cry shall rise." Brother Brown said, "Before I knew it, I had run down that aisle and slid into the altar like it was home plate and got saved." You know what happened to a man who didn't know God or nothing about the things of God? I'll tell you what happened. The Lord was at hand. The Lord is at hand, whether you're looking for him or not. Huh? Oh, thank you. I come from living with 4-5 women. All my wife and children, 5 women. That's how rumors get started. The Lord's at hand. So if my point in telling you all about that about Brother Brown, he pastored 30 years, took a church from his base, from his carport with 6 people. Built 7 buildings, 7 churches. The last one, $4 million church. 3,500 people. God's using to preach all over the country and the world. No telling how many people be in heaven because of the minister, Brother Brown. You know why I said all that and took the time to give you his testimony? Because Brother Brown was just a drunk, a party goer, knew nothing of God, knew nothing about the things of God. But the God who he didn't know nothing about knew a whole lot about him. Yes. And whatever you come in with this evening,
yes, sir,
you say, "Nobody knows my troubles. Nobody knows what I'm facing. Nobody knows my heartaches. Nobody knows my bank account. Nobody knows. And for that matter, nobody cares." Could I tell you, the Lord is at hand. And even when you feel like nobody else in this world knows, there's a God in heaven and the Lord is at hand on your behalf. He come,
amen,
and he's at hand for you. Raise your hand. The Lord is at hand. Next time the devil lies to you and says, "God don't love you, God don't care about you, God will never get you out of this," raise your hand and say, "The Lord's at hand. He's this close to me. He cares for me. He loved me so much he died for me. He took my sin. He took my shame. He took the worst that I had to offer. And when I wasn't looking for him, he was looking for me." That's the God of this Bible. That's the God who loves you. It's high time we quit listening to the lies of the devil and understand the Lord is at hand. The Lord's at hand in this church. The Lord's at hand in your life. The Lord's at hand in your family. I said a good bit this morning about homes. Husbands and wives are seemingly have more stress today than any that I can ever remember. Children, hey, mama, daddy, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be absolutely wonderful if your children could look to you even when it's hard, and it gets hard? Help us all out. Help us all out. Please help us all out. and quit acting like you got to put on for everybody. Because what happens is, this happened, Brother David, this happened, somebody came up to me and said recently, to me and Jenny, said, I can't believe y'all going through that. I thought y'all was like a perfect couple. I mean, I just thought y'all's family had everything in order. Y'all's ducks in a row, and like, y'all was the model family. I said, dear, come live with us for, I started to say for a day, but for about an hour, if it's a good day. And you will see how imperfect we are. How we broke the model a long time ago. We couldn't find the model. My point is, it hurts people to put on a show. Because what happens is younger Christians look and they say, wow, he's got a suit and a tie. He's the preacher. Brother Jackie, he comes in here looking sharp, and boy, what a preacher he is. And he's got it all together. And across the board, we can name names. And what we see and perceive in people, and I'm not telling you to come in here acting like hellions, but we don't have to put on, because what it does to people is it makes them feel like they way up here. And I'm way down here, and I can never achieve that. I can never get there. And the reality is, I am higher than I used to be. But it didn't happen overnight. And I'm way further down than what a lot of people think I am. And I'm way further down than I want to be. But by the grace of God, I'm way higher than I used to be.
Amen.
And my point is, let's teach our children, hey, no matter what the bill situation looked like, no matter what the doctor's report says, no matter how hard it gets, no matter the sin problem we face,
amen,
the Lord's at hand. And let's teach our children and husbands. I'm about sick and tired. I have been sweet all night long, sweet as sugar. I don't want to end on a sour note, but I've about had it up to here. Bunch of sissy men. Hear me? Yeah, it was funny, wasn't it? I'm being serious. Whatever happened to men being men? And some of you men, will come up and you'll talk to me till the cows come home about how men ought to work. When I say, bless God, men ought to work or they ought not eat. And if they don't work, they worse than infidel. Amen, preacher, that's right. Living off the government, bunch of heathen. And you'll go on and on and on. And I agree with you. But why can't we be that passionate about something way more important? That's the man's role and responsibility. Because I promise you, as important as work is, and the responsibility is for a man to work and feed his family, Brother Jackie, the man is the high priest of the home. Sir, God didn't create your wife with shoulders broad enough to carry the spiritual load of your home. You're breaking her, and you don't even see it. It's high time we had some men who would take our spirituality as serious as we do our job. Because long after that job's dead and gone and buried, what you do for the Lord and what you do for your children. Hey, listen. That's going to live forever. You're not going to get rewarded on how many accolades and promotions you got in the career. And I'm not saying be a sloth and a lazy bum. That's not in the Bible either. I think you ought to give a man an honest day's work.
Amen.
But I think you ought to give God an honest day's work too.
Amen.
And I think just as much as your employer deserves an honest man of integrity and character, I promise you, if your employer deserves that, I promise you your children deserve that. And so do mine. They need fathers with character and integrity who will point their finger to God and say, babies, girls, Daddy don't always live up to the standard, and I fall so short, but the Lord's at hand. He's nigh unto us. We wouldn't be here without the Lord and His help and His hand. And if we'll do that as fathers and husbands, I promise you, it'll change our families. You'll gain respect from your wife that you never dreamed. That you never dreamed. Not by flexing our muscles and saying, look what I am and look how strong and look what I provide and look how much money I make and look at all the bills I pay and look at all that I do. Those are fine and great. And she will applaud that. But you want me to tell you how to win your children? How not to lose your children? Teach them with your life. Not just your mouth. The Lord is at hand. And whatever we come up against, whatever hardship, whatever heartache, whatever sin, whatever sickness, and if it's even the grave, I'm going to lift my hand toward heaven and say, the Lord is at hand. Your children, my children, I failed y'all miserably. But y'all, if I fail at everything else in life, If I can show you with my life and with my lips, the Lord is at hand in my life and in the life of your mama and the life of our family, I promise you I'll die a happy man, and there'll be a God in heaven saying amen. That's a life well lived. I'm done. I've been preaching too long. I get paid by the hour, and I'm way over my time. Give me 30 seconds. I'm about to close. Listen. Hey, sir. Please hear me. Do you realize? I told Brother David this the other day. I said, Dave, what you going to do? I said, you got to have that back surgery. I mean, what in the world are you going to do about your business? I mean, how are they going to function without you? What's going to happen? And he said, oh, you know, I've been training them, this and that and the other. And I said, I said, I'm going to say this. Don't take it wrong. I said, but in times like this, we realize the world keeps spinning with us or without us. Yeah. Didn't I? Business is still going in it. Don't spend your whole life, sir or ma'am, don't spend your whole life dedicated to some company, some corporation, and work your fingers to the bones while neglecting your family and give them your all and neglect your family, because when you get too old, when your body starts shutting down and you can't do for them like you used to could, they will forget you ever existed. And they will move on and find another to replace you. They may give you a watch or they may give you some little bit of money, but they don't care about you. But that wife you got, that wife God so graciously blessed you with, them children, while the ages roll on, that's who you need to be living for. That they know they got a daddy and a mama who was a godly, honest man or woman of integrity, who had character, who loved Christ, and who taught them, not just with lip service, but with a life, the Lord is at hand. Let's stand. Father, we love you. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. Thank you for speaking and convicting and challenging my heart, Lord. Lord, I know I didn't get to the message, Lord God, that I come with again. But Lord, you sure did speak to me, Lord, tonight. Lord, I want to be that kind of husband. I want to be that kind of father. Lord, I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be that kind of church member that the people of this church, Lord, when they hear me, they'll know that it's more than just lip service, but God, that it's a lifestyle, Lord, it's dedicated to you, Lord, that I live under the heading that the Lord is at hand. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, tonight. May we all search our heart. Search, as the psalmist prayed, search me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me. Try me, O God. Try my innermost reins. Lord, those deep, dark caverns in our soul. Lord, those back rooms, the back rooms to our life, Lord, that we let no man go in and look around. God, I pray you'd walk freely, stroll freely through my home, through my life, through my heart. And may you search me, God, in a way that you'd show me and be honest and reveal to me the error of my ways, God. Lord, you truly are at hand. I pray, oh God, we'd do business with you. Lord, I want nothing more than to see husbands and wives sell out to you. God, that their children, that our children could see a mama and a daddy, God, who loves the Lord and who lives for you. Oh, God, Lord, thank you. The Lord is at hand. Lord, as we pray and this invitation's going, I realize and understand you promised where two or three be gathered in my name, there I'd be in the midst. Lord, you're here. I pray nobody would lug out their luggage, would haul out their heartaches and their burdens. God, the way they had to haul them in, hiding them, putting on a front and a face, no joy. God, would they come? God, as that woman pressed through the crowd and touched you, I pray everybody that needs a fresh touch would get to you, Lord, whatever it takes. God, whether they got to bend down, crawl, bow their head, touch, Lord. God, if there's any loss here today, I pray you'd save them. Because, Lord, you truly are at hand. God, in the broader, bigger sense, Lord, time is almost over. This world's almost ready to end, and you truly are at hand. May we do business with you before it's everlasting too late. Touch now, Lord. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.